You're listening to ProPod. I'm Sean Thompson.
I'm Roy Meakin.
I'm Ian Bruce.
And today I thought we'd start the episode off with some comments from our viewers.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, I'd like to put a big thank you out to a lot of people that supported us, as we are now ranked 13 on Podomatic under the video game section in 2000 and something in the overall section. We've had 76 downloads so far, and that's only today. It could be updated.
Keep them coming, guys. This really does support us. It helps us out, and thank you.
Okay, so we'll start with our first comment. This is, the subject is amazing podcasts. I think you meant to put amazing podcast. Mm. But anyway, very funny and can't wait until the next episode. 5 stars.
Wait no longer, because here it is.
And then a 4 stars by Smaugman.
Smaugman, that's how it's pronounced.
Oh, the Hobbit Dragon.
Smaug.
The Hobbit Dragon.
Yes, yeah. The Hobbit Dragon. Best dragon ever, just pointing that out there.
4 stars. They give interesting conversations, and Rory raises good points, and Sean makes good points, and Ewan makes good backup.
Basically, we make good Lehman, and kind of Ewan's just sort of the backup. I think that's what he's saying there.
That's a bit unfair.
Yeah, he's just our backup.
Oh, my voice is squeaky today. Anyway, we have one last one, and this is kind of directed at Rory. A Rory Heartface, 5 stars by QRSTUV. Rory is so funny and cool. He sounds so hot. Love him lots. Love from RNXXX. Mm. I think we all know who RN is. Rebecca Nix.
Yeah. Very nice.
Well, that must disappoint you, because you do fancy Jennifer McVeigh.
I know, you had to bring that up, didn't you? Yes! But we all know who you fancy too, don't you? Uh-huh. Anyway!
What did you say? That sounded like Molly.
Molly!
Molly!
Holy!
With a H.
With a H. Oh,
I'm not gonna start agreeing with you. But yeah, I thought the first like kind of subject we would do today is Toy Story and the kind of adult humour that when we were kids and we were watching it, we didn't exactly realise. Yes,
but now with our new growing immaturity as comes with this age, we then just start to notice rather probably what was unforeseen things that would be perceived nowadays.
One thing before we got into this, you forgot your catchphrase.
My catchphrase? Yes!
That made the podcast.
Shall I begin? Basically, as Sean shall say here, there were many things wrong about this. And don't get us wrong, we're not dissing Toy Story. It's a really good movie. So Sean, what exactly did you think?
Well, there was one scene where there was a little shepherd person. The woman, right, and she goes, I can get someone to look after the sheep, my house will be empty, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then she pulls the cane and he's like, and I'm like, yeah, but when we were kids, we're probably like, yeah, they're going back to kiss. We didn't mean that. They're going back to make more children.
And that brings up the question, how do toys make other toys? I mean, how would that work? I mean, do you see the purpose here? I mean, I'm probably looking into this a bit too deeply, but how does that work? Yeah. How do toys have romance? How do they we've butchered childhood memories here.
Let's let Ewan elaborate on how Toy Story toys have sex. Come on, Ewan.
They pull each other's strings.
But not all Toy Story people have strings.
Well, put each other's buttons then.
But Slinky doesn't have any buttons.
Oh, just put his tails.
He's like a hard tail.
Oh, please, God, can we stop this?
No, but there is a lot of adult humour and a lot of kids...
Well, not really adult humour, but a lot of stuff that could be perceived as adult humour.
Innuendo.
Yeah, and there's one where he drops into the little spaceship and all the wee green alien. This is Buzz Lightyear. Drops into the spaceship with all the little aliens, and they're all like, and they start touching him. He's just, like, smiling, put his hands up. Where's he touching him? Who's your master? Claw.
Who's your mommy?
He picks who stays and who goes.
Who's your mommy? I don't, you know what? It may sound like we're butchering the film here, which we probably
are. How can you butcher Toy Story? Don't even say that.
Exactly. That's what we think about the movie. I think it's a good childhood movie for us, but just as comes of age.
It's a good childhood movie.
What's a good movie in general?
60 years old, we're married, we've got grandchildren, we're just lying back.
No, it's a good movie in general, but you know what? It definitely brings back a lot of nostalgia. And it feels like we're probably butchering it, but we do love it. And definitely the second and the third one.
Ewan, do you have any, stories of, well, movies that you've watched that are rated children that have kind of adult humour?
I don't know. You only really notice these things when you watch them again.
Yeah.
Amber at Cars was quite funny, actually, but I don't think that was really sexy.
Sexy?
Do not bring up that goddamn film, please.
No, my favourite part was on Cars. I don't know if this was Cars. No, it was Cars, actually.
The only film with cars in it.
Is when they went to Japan or something like that. Yeah. And they went into the toilet and he was doing the toilet,
that's
obviously.
Funny.
Right? And it sprayed water into his ass and he was like, oh! Well, no, that's tickling.
Can we please not talk about that fucking movie? Right. I hate Cars, okay? The secret's out. I hate those movies. I think the idea is stupid. The whole world built around it is stupid. It's just a stupid way to promote Cars or whatever it is. No offense, Disney's done some good things, but I just don't like it. It's... No!
Okay, bye, take it.
Exactly. Move on. Exactly.
One thing we're wanting to talk about, and this is kind of a Ewan's section, because he's the only one seen it, so me and Rory will be asking him questions.
And
anyway.
Also, we'll be your kind of folk, the people who don't really know. And Ewan's going to give us, for the first 5 minutes, a kind of spoiler-free-ish kind of thoughts, and then give an in-depth kind of stuff to it. So, Ewan, what did you think about the film The Fault in Our Stars?
It was pretty good, actually. I mean, when I walked into the cinema, it was just a crowd. The whole audience was girls, right? I thought, oh, what am I doing here, right? What am I doing here? And then when I'm walking down into the... Everyone was really excited. They read the book and stuff. Supposedly it's really sad, so I've been told it's sad. I'm going to cry lots.
Did you bring your hankies with you?
Of course not, no.
For anyone wondering why Ewan sounds a little bit funny, it's because he's had his lungs braces.
Stop interrupting me. I'm talking.
Mike Hogger!
I'm sorry.
Right. When in the cinema, the seats, right, you just sort of get up and you look about. There was one other guy in that cinema room.
Who'd been dragged
probably by his girlfriend. And he was sitting there. We sort of looked at each other thinking, we both shouldn't be here. The movie started. And it actually got to the stage where people were actually crying over the movie. And I was just looking about, oh, friends are sitting together. I was like, should I be crying here? Is it disrespectful not to cry here?
So you look at the person next to you and you just get like, oh, bugger it.
Did you think it was good?
Well, I had quite low expectations for it, but actually it was really good. I give it 5 stars.
Try to tell us a couple of points.
You give it 5 stars?
Yeah, I give it 5 stars.
I think that just proves the theory. If you're not excited for a film, it actually turns out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
There's an excellent point. I was excited for Pacific Rim. I still enjoyed
it. I wasn't. I thought it was the shittest movie in the world.
Sean was not excited. Oh, no,
you were excited for Pacific Rim.
Neither of you two were excited for that film.
But, see, that's the thing. I wasn't excited for Pacific Rim. I said, oh, it was pretty good, yeah. Uh-huh. I wasn't excited for Fault in Our Stars. I thought, well, actually, that was really good. It was excellent. And I think that's because the director, I can't really remember his name because we'd kind of left before that stuff came up. But he managed to make pretty much 99% of the audience in that cinema cry except me and this other guy. And, well, that takes quite a bit of skill, I think, to do that. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty impressed by that. The story was actually a good storyline to it as well.
Yeah.
And a bit of a surprise if you haven't read the book. Mm. I knew what was going to happen, but I'm not going to tell you. But obviously it is sad and someone died, because that's what happened.
It's a bit sad. Someone died.
There's a film about a couple who have cancer. Yes, someone is going to die somewhere. But do you think that the film has borrowed, because it was good, it's borrowed a lot off the book that was based off? Because if people say the book is good, do you think, I know you haven't read the book, from what you've heard, do you think that a lot of the stuff that was in it was taken from the book in particular, like with the Harry Potter stuff? That's
what
I've
heard. It was from what I've heard, it was very accurate to the book, which is a good thing. You always want it to be accurate.
I think that kind of works, I think. If it's a good book, why ruin it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, unless it's for the better. I mean, some of the Harry Potter stuff,
and some
of the stuff in general, I think, did actually benefit. But you've just proven a big point right there. All the movies that have been released this year people have been really excited for, have actually been either seen as only good or really disappointing. For example, our last podcast, we talked about Godzilla. Same thing happened to me with Robocop. I mean, I didn't really have high expectations for that, but I was still a bit disappointed by it, and with X-Men and all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't really... I mean, with Spider-Man, I enjoyed, and I wasn't too excited for that because I'd heard a lot of bad things about it. So going into it, my expectations weren't huge, and it was my favourite movie of the year until I came across Edge of Tomorrow, which we will review at some point. So I think you've just proven there.
And what I always like to say is, when we're actually, I've never seen an audience in a cinema not react to the film, but you know what? It's like when you go to the theatre and almost like, it got to the point, right? The guy kisses the girl in it, and there's people in the movie who are actually clapping. The whole audience.
To be honest, which movie does not involve a little bit of kissing?
No, but the thing is, you knew it was going to happen, but it builds every up. Time when someone kisses in a movie, and the people in the movie clap. No one else in the cinema has ever clapped before, but in that movie, they did.
I think because they build it up. From what I've heard, they build it up.
I was just kind of thought, this is really weird. It was a different experience for me, but it was very good.
I think it's nice to have. I mean, that's the Fault in Our Stars isn't exactly my style of film, just because I'm not really into that whole depressing thing. But I think from another point of view,
don't have a heart, Rory.
I don't have a heart at all. It's good to see something else besides big blockbuster action sequences and expensive explosions, and to actually have something that just makes something as simple as kissing someone, which in real life, we're getting very personal here for the moment, is actually a big moment for someone in some cases. So I think it does, I've heard.
Yeah,
it's good when a film engages you like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're going to get into the spoilerish kind of sections where Ewan will start to reveal some stuff. So if you don't want any spoilers, skip ahead about 10 minutes or so. Cause I think
no, not 10 minutes, about 3 minutes.
Well, you know, Ewan might want to go into some in-depth stuff. What was the thing that, like, you don't like give it completely away, but what actually surprised you with the whole end syndrome? I mean, don't say...
Well, I knew what was going to happen anyway, I'd been told. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask to be told, I was told. And I thought, oh, well, you can kind of see why I'd do that, but the end, but if I say it, it'll give it all away, right?
Oh.
So I won't, but I think you can guess what I'm talking about anyway.
Do you think that if you hadn't been told that you would have been able to figure it out? Before they say who was going to be dying.
It's not sudden, straight like that, but it's not, it doesn't build up gradually, it kind of accelerates build up quite, if that makes sense.
So it's kind of like...
it's a sharp turn, it's half sharp. It's
so not, so like yeah. It builds up slowly and then just everything goes to hell.
It slowly turns. The table flips, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay, I know what happens in the end, because I've been told.
Yeah.
But from what I know of it, I actually am impressed with it, because I think that what was good about it was, it's not to spoil it, but what happens in the end is actually the opposite to what you think would happen. Because all the trailers and all the promotions focuses on these people, you don't actually expect the individual who dies... for it to actually happen.
Yeah.
You don't expect it to happen to him. Because I personally, when I heard that happened, because when someone came up to me and said, no, this is the person that dies, it kind of made me think, wait, this person dies? I thought it would have been one of these people who it's been focusing on. And I think I like films that do that. Because with The Amazing Spider-Man 2, as much as I praise it, because it doesn't deserve the hate that it gets. Because there was one guy called Trilby Reviews. It's all one word. I think you guys should check him out, because he's pretty in-depth with stuff. But I could not disagree more with his Spider-Man review, because he said that it could be the worst comic book movie he's ever seen. And I told him, have you seen... I thought to myself, have you seen Catwoman? Have you seen Daredevil? Have you seen Batman and Robin? I mean, seriously, are you telling me that this is the worst film ever? But no, I don't think so. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is not as far from perfect. But you know what? The one thing that I will admit was... Yeah. Even if I hadn't known what happens to this individual who dies...
I think I would have seen it anyway.
Well, if you haven't seen it anyway, Gwen Stacy dies. I think I would have seen it coming anyway.
Well, you know, you saw it. She was about to die and Spider-Man's going down to save her. You just think, he's going to get her.
You see it in the trailer. Yeah. You see it laid out in the trailer. Like, they build up someone's going to die. So it's just...
And you think, it's going to be everyone in the movie. Spider-Man will save her. But it doesn't if she dies.
No, she does. I actually like the way that was on.
They actually killed her. Kind of a bit taken aback. You're not going to be bothered if she's died anyway. When she actually does die, it's like... No way.
I wasn't too bothered by it. I mean, because I'm a heartless individual, but maybe actually because I've been preparing myself, because I already knew this was it was going to happen. But I definitely like the way. How have we jumped from the Fallout to
get
Spider-Man?
Yeah,
but that's what I'm just going to end with Spider-Man. There is, I like the way that they did it. It was kind of like a bit of a surprise. So anyway, back to the Fault in Our Stars.
And they actually get, there's two characters in it. Got Augustus for short, and Hazel. and you kind of get attached to them, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You kind of, I don't know, you kind of start to see them as your friend. Have you ever had that, if you know what I mean?
No, what, it's because you don't.
You sort of warm to them, if that makes sense.
You kind of like a TV series. Like you kind of like you know them.
To be honest, you don't have any friends.
I know.
Oh, you don't have
any. It's easy for you to get attached to new ones.
Wait, you can watch some characters in a movie and just say, oh, they're just there. But those are you sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but you know.
So it's kind of like a TV series where it's like you've been watching these characters for so long that you kind of
so
you know them like seeing anyone else besides them. I know that film because I watched this show called Primeval, and basically
do not bring Primeval up. I hate that show.
You hate it?
Hell!
What? How could you hate it?
It was the worst. I would rather sit on a toilet naked while everyone looks at me than watch a single episode.
Yeah, let's face it, Sean. You would want that to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So shut up. I enjoyed Primeval. I watched it since when I was a little kid. I enjoyed it. And because I grew up for the first three seasons with these specific characters,
You're an old man. I grew up with the characters. They were my best friends.
It's like that. It's like a show that's been going on for like years, and then pretty much by the end of the series, almost everyone's dead. Or to be better for a better show, being human. By the time series 4 ends, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it, but you should see it. Everyone who
I think we should have like a dashboard that says spoiler alert.
I think we should, but like, I kid you not, if I'm correct, every single person from the first season and probably the second season are dead by the time season 4 comes along. And that is depressing when you've like grown, when you like you become like, as you said in the film with the Fallen Stars, you become so attached to these people, and it kind of over the, only it's over the course of a series, and that's really depressing.
I mean,
so
but
to be honest, every series you watch, there's got to be at least one dying.
One dying
or one gets kicked out. There's not a single series where you don't lose a character or you see a character and then lose it.
Yeah.
Well, there was one show that I've seen that actually no one dies in it.
Okay,
no,
then.
No main character died.
Elaborate.
In it. Chuck. I mean, it's like a spoofy show, but you know what? None of the main characters die in that show.
Yeah.
If I'm correct, none of the characters. I mean, some of the side characters die.
But just
like,
look at Game of Thrones. Everyone.
Yeah, but Game of Thrones. But Game of Thrones, everybody dies. I mean, I think we've noticed a meme here. Every
time. See, when we get to season 10, I bet it's gonna be like one character.
I don't think there's gonna
show.
Be a season 10. I think they're gonna be. I think there's only 8 books. I think.
No, but they should make more series. I don't care if there's only 8 books, right? I'm halfway through the second book. I don't care if there's only 8 books. Surely, like Sky Atlantic or that creative, they could come up with one last.
I would prefer to have a short but really good series than have a long and rubbish, series. And Game of Thrones, as far as I know, has been pretty decently done.
Decently done.
Well, it's been pretty. It's like
decently done.
Yeah.
Take that back.
No, you know what? I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this. I really enjoy Game of Thrones. I enjoy it, but you know what?
How are you going to get a lot of hate of seeing you like
because,
the
no,
show?
Because I think it's overhyped.
I love it.
It's like The Walking Dead. It's overhyped. Because I think so many people have like so much things, it's overhyped. But what do you think?
Well, the other day, one of the things I noticed about The Fault in Our Stars is on the Facebook page, before I thought we were going to do this, I looked up on the Facebook page. One of the posts says, you know a movie's good when you think about it for the whole day afterwards. And that is exactly true. I did think about
that's
it for
a,
the whole day
fact.
Afterwards. You couldn't get it out of your head. It was just there at the back of your mind and you're just constantly thinking about it.
Fair enough.
And just like when we're walking out of the cinema, it was just like, you know the little corridor you get when you're walking out?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's just crying.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just standing there like, I'm so hardcore, I didn't laugh.
I didn't cry at that.
It leaves us bad taste in your mouth.
It makes you think deep and how grateful and lucky you are not to have a disease like cancer.
Yeah, but to be honest, you're not lucky. You can still get it when you're older.
Anything.
I know, but don't.
But to have it at this age, because remember, these are kids.
Yeah.
If I'm right, these are kids that are around our age, so it's like.
No, well, they're about 17, but they got it when they're about
our age. But they've had it since they were around our age, so like, all of us could have it right now.
It makes us grateful that we don't have our childhood ruined by something like that.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's what's good about
the childhood doesn't exactly get. Fair enough, the couple of years that you have it might get ruined, but see afterwards. The amount of, like, the doctors give you this much stuff. Like, you see people that have suffered from cancer going on and doing Commonwealth and Olympics.
But it hasn't happened, this.
I know. Mm.
This is just a story of, like, two couples that, like, realise that they're not...
Just a couple.
Well, yeah, there's just this couple that realise that they're not going to make it till they're, like, you know, to have family.
See, talking about this, I'm really thinking about... See, before you move to America, mm-hmm. we're all going to see it.
Yeah.
I have that feeling.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, guys, I thought I would let you know that this might be one of Rory's last episodes. We're going to record a few today, as he's moving to America in August.
Mm.
So yes. this is probably another 6 episodes we'll record, or so, until he moves in August.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there's only going to be about 6 or 7 episodes left of Rory, and then it's going to be Google Hangout, and we can't rely on Google Hangout that much.
No.
So it's going to be like a fuzzy voice again.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Maybe go shut up more.
Yeah, we can just mute him. Mute. But I thought I would get onto this bit, as this is everyone's kind of had a section. Obviously, I'm still waiting on my section, which is the gaming. But we will move on to Ewan's section just at the moment, just so we can get that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have any time left, we can just talk about random shizzle.
Yeah, really.
So, what's your section?
My section is music, and tonight we'd like to talk a bit about who me and Sean believe is the greatest band ever.
Yes, please say Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
Yes!
And when you hear a song like Living on a Prayer, you can't dislike it. Everyone knows it.
Shuffle the heart down your heart.
Don't rip it.
To a party, there's all this modern stuff about, but when someone puts Living on a Prayer, everyone gets up and sings along.
Mm.
It's just one of these songs that no matter who you are, you know the chorus to it. Mm. And if you're a bit more advanced, you know the verses, but
everyone's a bit more advanced.
Like me.
You're not advanced, you don't know shit.
Yeah, but if you really want to know, you can listen to it and know the verses, but no matter if you haven't listened to it, you'll know the verses.
Mm-hmm.
No chorus even.
Technically, but what if you're like a diehard Bon Jovi fan and you don't know one lyrics to the song? That must be
well, then you're not a diehard fan.
You're not a diehard fan if you don't know any lyrics.
Exactly. You can't be a fan and diehard.
You can just listen to a song and the lyrics go.
Think Bon Jovi. I'm like one of those people who aren't really fans of them, but from an outsider point of view, I can definitely tell. I may not know the lyrics, but the music does stay in your head. That's something that does.
Sing a part of one song.
I don't know the lyrics. It's got da 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 da.
No! No! Oh, no, I know where he's getting
See,
at.
There you go.
Yeah.
The song sticks in your head. Yeah. I'm not getting a good singer. Don't butcher that song, Sean.
I'm moaning.
See, don't butcher the song, but that's exactly the point.
Freezing
the song. Shut up. Anyway, yeah. But that just continues to the point right there. It shows that even though you may not be a fan or know the lyrics, you can still...
To be honest, sorry if anyone's watching this, right, but there's a boy at our school, not naming any names, but he listens to quite weird music. And I was standing next to him in a bus. He obviously had his music in. And to be honest, it was just...
No offense to the guys, but I don't really like that kind of music. It just goes... Blah, 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 blah,
rip up the floor!
Here's how it goes. Hey, everybody know. Nobody
you just
can
shook
say,
my iMac when you did that.
Nobody can say.
Rory, stop it, you're gonna shake it again.
Everybody say. No! That is not
that
song.
Is that really music or is that just.
Then again, you get to dubstep, which is. This is a zombie apocalypse.
So,
right, enough about just us making random songs about.
Sorry, guys.
Shut the up!
Oh, you're gonna bleep me now? You're gonna bleep yourself now? Is that what you're doing?
Shut the beep up! Imagine you're like that.
No beeping way, man!
Shut the fuck beep up! Oh no, I missed it!
Shit, I almost said fuck.
But. I don't know what to do. You can take off from that bit.
Anyway, so is there anything else you want to say about Bon Jovi? Besides they're good.
They're very good.
Anything else? Okay, so now we're
going to here's good news, but this is old news, but you just won't know this.
Right.
The guitarist walked off the tour last year.
Yeah, that's old news.
That's old news, yeah.
Why did he walk off?
I don't know.
Bon Jovi called him a name. He said, you're a shit guitarist, and he went...
Well, actually, no, he's one of the best guitarists in the world. But, yeah, I just kind of...
Is that what his mother told him?
No, it's not his mother.
You'll
told
be
him.
The best guitarist in the world. Thank you, mother.
Then play a song, Ben.
Anyway, so now we're going to get...
It's a piano, not fake.
But it should be joining the band again, so back again.
Yeah. So now we're going to get to the video game section.
Yes!
So this the matter here that I want to bring up here is...
No, but this is my section.
I'm asking you the question here. I'm bringing up the matter so you can
fine,
talk
okay.
about it.
Fine, okay.
Have you noticed the latest trend of things where games are now becoming more like movies? And by that I mean like not just like with the style and tone-wise, like how it's basically, you're basically playing a movie, but also now with Assassin's Creed Unity and all the COD games... They're now just releasing sequel
guys,
after
I
sequel
must interrupt.
After sequel.
Rory, be quiet. Ewan has now been evicted from the podcast. He just did the last Jaffa cake.
You bastards!
This there's no Jaffa cake.
None. Anyway, getting back
even
to the
point.
Getting
not
back
fashion
to
last.
Getting back to the point. Have you noticed that now they're starting to release sequel after sequel after sequel of the game per year?
Yeah, but that's how they make money. You can't expect them to make Black Ops and then go, alright, that was a
success. But there's no anticipation here, because think about it. Originally, like, look at the Mass Effects. Because you've been playing the Mass Effect and then they're building up, or like with Elder Scrolls. I mean, I know it takes ages to make them, but if they were going to release them year by year, if they could, would you be as excited for the next one? Because it's just you're releasing another one. Another
no,
one,
because you wouldn't.
One.
If Skyrim, right,
is a fantastic
an amazing
game,
right? But see if they like released one every year. Imagine having to buy in the same old shit, the same old DLCs. Oh wait, there's new DLCs. I think they should just have the one game and shit tons of DLCs.
But that's what they're doing. That's the thing. That's they're now just turning what would be a DLC into their sequel. I mean, look at COD. You've got Black Ops 2, which in my opinion is probably the best. My favorite Call of Duty. Subi, and then you've got Ghosts, and then you've got Advanced Warfare coming out, and then you had Assassin's Creed, where you had Black Flag last year, and now you've got Assassin's Creed Unity. What games that should be DLCs?
Yeah, but Assassin's Creed is a good...
Yes!
Because it's different ages, but Call of Duty's just like, yeah, right, this is a new mission.
But that's a lot
same
of
old, the guy that you start with, that you start with at the start is dead. Oops, wow, oops. Oh, he comes back, even though he died last
explosions,
time.
Explosions, explosions, explosions.
Explosion, like oh wait, we're doing so good, oh wait, we just got interrupted. We're gonna get, oh no, we just got interrupted.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Have you noticed, Call of Duty has now put itself into that stage where it's now, it doesn't really feel like Call of Duty. Because it always sets itself up as either wars that have happened or are going on right now. And that trend sort of ended when Modern Warfare 3 came out. And now it's just all futuristic stuff. Because I was discussing something with someone. You can still make it Call of Duty, but why not make this new trend of making it futuristic warfare kind of a new, like, a spin-off kind of series. Like, you could have COD Advanced Warfare Black Ops 2, COD Advanced Warfare Ghosts, COD Advanced Warfare Explosions and Robots. That is essentially what it is. It's explosions and robots. It's now just copying and pasting of what Black Ops 2 was, which is why I enjoy Black Ops 2 the most, because it actually had the most variety. Ghost, as much as I thought it was an okay game, as I had become to accept the Call of games because they're more like sort of the summer movies of games, it was just sneak into a place, quietly, kill a few people, all shit goes, you have to escape the place as it's exploding. That was literally the entire thing. Play through it again if you don't believe me. That was the whole thing. So... That's what I think of what's happened with COD. What do you think?
I don't play COD anymore. I fell out with it.
That's the point.
Isn't see
it?
This hole in my desk?
Mm-hmm.
That was COD.
That was COD. That COD. COD
but
facing
COD
in desk.
See on a music note, see on a gaming note, right?
Mm-hmm.
Looked great. Last month or something was Adventure, month? Right? And no, that's the one I've got up there is the Transform theme. Mm-hmm. But...
Desk.
Yeah, the hole in my desk. That was ages ago. Sorry, we had a slight technical difficulty. The microphone fell. But yeah, what we were back at was the Transform theme for the Look Great. But it wasn't this month. It was last month. So it was, I think it was April or May. Or it could have been February, March, April, May. But it can be June. But it was Adventure. And they released this sweet minifig of an online character on Skyrim. And I seen it and I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to go play online. It looks quite good. I didn't know it was out yet. I signed up for the beta and I knew it was coming out, but I didn't know it was out already. So I went on to it and it goes, you need to upgrade. So I was like, okay, I'll upgrade. It's probably just going to be about 12 quid, maybe 30 quid. Mm-hmm. I went on it, $49.99. I was like, what's the... To get a sticker with it, or a sticker. But then at that point I was like, I mean, the money's good, right? But if, for a game that I might play, like, I'm busy with my pigeons, I'm busy with the podcast, I'm busy with other stuff. I don't have time to spend 69 quid on a premium edition of Skyrim Online.
That just brings up the point. Elder Scrolls Online, I think, it set itself up as something that could have been really awesome, but you know what? It further supports the idea that I think they should have, I mean, if they could have, they would have should have put multiplayer in with Skyrim, because the map's big enough, the technology was big enough.
Technically, but
because think about it, would have been much more cooler because you have dragons in there and you can like hang up with your other people and you can do all that kind of stuff. And then it does all this stuff, and I don't know, it could have worked. But then with Elder Scrolls Online, they built themselves up as like they were really advanced and there was really good graphics, but the graphics were just linear. But I'm not going to hold it back on that just because the whole system thing and all is all online. But the fact that there was really little stuff to do, it was just long stretches of land that you couldn't do, and it was buggy, it was really buggy. Imagine if they did a GTA 5 online game, like not just the thing, but like, and instead of it just being, you know, you're going around doing stuff, it was, it kept bugging, and every time something would happen, it would just disappear, and that was essentially the story that you're playing in, only it's online, and it just bugged me. So, what do you think?
I mean, everything online's buggy. You can't never.
Yeah, but I mean, it was Elder Scrolls. They had built this up, and they could have at least given us some good stuff.
It depends
on
your broadband provider.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or if you have, like, fibre optic and stuff like
that. Yeah, but that's like, but not everyone does.
But...
So that's not Skyrim's fault.
I'm sorry I have to interrupt on this note, but we have reached the end of ProPor.
Yes.
We are now 31 minutes in, and probably... We would have liked it to be 30, so we're not using up all our bandwidth on the one podcast. Mm. But before you all go, I thought we'd let you know, if you want to ask us any questions, suggest any topics we should talk about, I know I said ask any questions, but see if you are asking a question, please say the question and who you want it to direct it to, or if you want to direct it to us all. But yeah, give us also a topic that we could talk about if you like feel very strong about a new movie and you'd like to hear our insight and all that. But if you want to do that, if you go along to www.facebook.com/propod1. We don't yet have a website just because we're kind of starting out, but Facebook's a good way to start growing our website because technically everyone is on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But so far we've got about 30 likes, which is quite good. And I thought I would also bring this up just at the very end of the movie. I'd like to... thank everyone, really. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead onto my safari. I need to go back a bit, right? But seeing the statistics, remember that?
Statistics.
I know I can say it, but for some reason...
Statistics. That's what's said,
yeah, probably. But for some reason, I just keep going... This is the stats, right? Bugger it, because my mouth doesn't let me say S's.
If you want to say statistics, just turn to me and go, Rory, please say stats. I'll go, statistics.
But yeah, the stats, right?
Mm-hmm. The statistics.
So you said it.
Statistics. So you fucked me up, too. The statistics. Anyway.
The stats were absolutely over the roof. We didn't expect this much in a month. There's about 12,000, maybe, probably more than 12,000 podcasts in Podomatic overall. And we ranked like 2,694. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy.
And then the video game section, it was like out of 12,000, we were ranked 13 or something.
We're still ranked
13. Please leave us a review for stuff like given like what you think should be
also
changed,
if you want to help us rank up even quicker, if you the more you download the podcast, the more people that download the podcast, the higher we go. It doesn't matter likes, ratings, followers, it's only the amount of downloads. And so far, right, and I thought this was crazy, I honestly thought someone had added an extra 3, but we got 73 downloads overall in the week that we've had it up.
Yeah,
73 downloads, though.
For someone who's unknown and someone who's really just starting off, 73 downloads is a very good start.
Fair enough, 30 of that's probably our school, but still, 73 downloads and over like 80 views. So I think we've had about 81 views. So everyone that's viewed, about a small percentage of them have actually downloaded it.
Yeah. So please,
I thought that was crazy.
So please continue the support, download our stuff, give us comments.
Like our Facebook page.
Like our Facebook page. We really do enjoy stuff, and the more you download our stuff, the quicker we can get more content and more conversations out for you, because then obviously we feel more committed because we have to keep, you know, our fan base up. And as Sean said, thank you for all the stuff. So I have to say,
I was scared in case you stopped it there.
No.
But also on the Facebook page, if you want us to shout your name out.
Oh yeah.
You just send us something you want to shout it out, but we will only shout out your name. We won't shout out and the message you send, but we won't shout out like Sean Thompson. Go along to my YouTube channel, right? Because that's advertising. If you want to advertise on this, then you can sponsor us.
Sponsor us.
And also, if you want your comment read out, you can either leave us a comment on Podomatic, leave us a comment on iTunes, or leave us a comment on our Facebook page in general. So yeah, I'm actually ecstatic with the amount of support we've had already. I can't say too much because there is a wee deal we might be working out with the company, which might be quite good.
I'm Rory.
Ewan, how are your thoughts on the stats, to be honest?
I can't believe it. First podcast we've done, and I expect to get like over 10 views, to be honest with you.
So, I expected to come back next week and thank 7 people for downloading it.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to thank 73 people.
I mean, that's really pathetic, but, you know, 73 is a lot for something that's just starting off. I mean, thank you for 73 views and all that kind of stuff.
Ran on to 36 minutes, 5 minutes of us just talking about how good our stats are.
Thanking you all.
Thank you very much, and we're saying goodbye now. See you next time.
So, I'm Rory Meakin.
I'm Sean Thompson.
I'm Ian Bruce.
And this is ProPod.
You have been watching ProPod.